Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Petty Little Things with your hosts, Victoria Secret and Davina Devine.
Hey, Petty Bitches.
Welcome to Petty Little Things with Davina Devine.
And this is Victoria Secret.
And I am inside a phone box.
Just been talking about like our recording process. Where even though we're beside each other, we're actually inside phone boxes. We try and get the best sound quality that we can.
We say inside phone boxes, we actually mean inside a phone box. It's like we're trying to see, basically this studio has really high ceilings and the acoustics.
So luxurious.
The acoustics are a bit awkward at the best times.
Yeah.
So we're trying to condense the sound.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, so it's very claustrophobic in this little phone box. Hi guys, we're like Bosco.
Can we start with Britney? Straight out the gate.
Yes.
I can't believe we're talking about Britney again. Britney got the big D. Like, Britney's getting the big divorce. Mm. She's losing that absolute wetzer.
And her teeth are starting to separate.
No, you're lying.
They're starting to separate in the middle. And I think when everything is falling apart and then your teeth start to go, it's just, because apparently they say that, like, you know, you have to wear retainers. You know, like, you have the Hollywood smile. You have to wear retainers. So even her teeth are starting to.
That's so funny. Yeah. I'm going to say something that I've been thinking for the last while. There's this fella that we probably both thought was a wetzer at one point, and I've clocked recently his teeth are moving. And I know that's such a very specific thing to do.
They're not moving to Australia, are they?
But you know, we have a fascination with twink death, and this is kind of another level of twink death. He wasn't a twink, but also he was kind of like someone who, like, in the day, everyone was like,
an admirer from the past.
Yeah. And now to see the teeth going, one's going east, one's going west.
It's, and you know, that is the thing, like, as you get older, it's like your teeth move, your teeth constantly move, and your ears continue to grow and your nose grows.
Oh my god, well, I don't need my nose to grow anymore. My nose needs to stay where it is,
straight up to Turkey. Hack it off.
Even Americans are going to Turkey now to get their teeth done.
Yeah, it has to be at some point. I saw someone the other day is now a brand ambassador for this, like, Turkish kind of consult place, you know, where you go, but the office is in Dublin.
Okay.
And then you go over to thing, and I was like, wow, there must be mega money in it.
Mega, but
do you,
like,
remember I used to be obsessed with the grannies that went to Turkey looking for men? I was obsessed. There used to be this RTE documentary, and it was like Second Chance Saloon or something. It was all these, like, you know, like gilfs, like, you could just say, when I say gilfs, and you'd sound very, very loosey, like Dolores from the Flats, you know what I mean? And she'd be heading over to Kusa Dasi to meet Amir, you know
what I mean? Amir.
And he'd be like, I love Dolores so much. And she'd be like, Amir, you treat me like no woman has ever treated me out of life. He'd be rogering her to bits, and she'd be having the bot, and she'd be like, don't forget me, Amir. Next thing he'd be, like, they cut the film crew, go back, he'd be with some other element, Sandra from Letterkenny or whatever, you know what I mean?
But you remember the Late Late interviewed a few of them about it, and, like,
people are disgusted.
Yeah.
Real judges. Like, you know, I'm like all for people doing what they want, but I do think there comes a time where you have to be a little bit kind of like cop on a bit.
I'm all for everyone getting their bit as well, but like, I don't know if the bit needs to turn into living together. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, I think sometimes those really big age gap things, and especially culturally, where it's like,
yeah,
it's like maybe if there's money involved or things like that, I just think my alarm bells would be ringing.
100%. I was in a little greasy spoon outside Edinburgh once, having breakfast with, I think it was Miss Cracker, and on the telly was This Morning at the time, and there was this granny. She was about 80 years of age. Do you remember?
Yeah.
And she's a real young fella.
I'm kind of obsessed with those stories.
Me too. But like, are they having sex?
Yeah. And I also understand, it's like if somehow Granny Grey hasn't been fucking pounded in 45 years, I understand. Like, go for it, girl. I just think it's kind of sad when it goes a bit sour.
Yeah.
Because older people, I think, get hurt a lot more. Uh-huh. Kind of, they feel the hurt more, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I'm still focusing on the sex. I don't know why, but I'm like,
it's a very, very dry.
Oh, that's what I was wondering. I was like, I wonder, maybe she's a good gay best friend who's like, what lube would you recommend? No, do you know what I mean?
No, I wouldn't. That's just a fact of life.
Yeah.
Well, fair play to Amir and Sandra.
Absolutely. Oh my God. Have you ever been to Turkey?
Yes, we both were.
When were we in Turkey? Yes. Okay. So we have the same shared memory then, because I remember just walking down the street and everyone was trying to stop us to get something.
Give us kisses. Come in here, Sandra and Dolores.
I don't recall them being very gay loving.
No, they're real. They're just trying to flog their fake designer goods.
Yeah.
And we're really bad fakes as well.
Shite.
Like Puma with the penis. Uma. Like
Uma Thurman.
And then remember they kept trying to get us into these little cavern shops.
Yeah.
And he'd get in and it'd be fucking boiling hot, like carpets on the wall as wallpaper. You'd be like, Jesus Christ. But we go in all the same.
I'm not against going back. Like, you know, hair transplant number 56 is probably just around the corner.
Like, I never say never.
No, never. Mm. I was just in one of the countries that we were in on that cruise. I was in Croatia. Now it was 36 degrees. And I've kind of told you this already. I was wearing 3-way cinchers, 2 pairs of tights, plus one of them really thick. They're almost like leggings, thicker than leggings, tights to hide your pads. Pads. Boobs, like a big wig. I, for some reason, I wore a costume covered head to toe.
I thought you were going to a Muslim country.
I thought I was going to die. And I'm not going to lie, I wasn't sure. You know, when you go to a country and you're like, oh, how are they going to react to me being in drag? No one gave a fuck, to be honest.
Did you not wear one of those sexy leotards you wear?
Well, I think I was trying to pick something because I wasn't sure. You know, with like weddings and stuff, like there could be like older people there and you don't want like full puss hanging out.
Yeah, you don't want to drag queen at it.
But anyway, after I performed, I had to go and lie down for an hour. I thought I was going to pass out. Like,
she's Tina Turner. She has to take a break halfway through the show.
And the staff kept coming back going like, you were great. We've never seen drag queen before.
Yeah, they never will again. Straight into the boot of a car, taking up the mountains.
But there was a gay there, Michael, shout out to you. Who had this
gay wedding.
Yeah, gay
and
wedding.
What's the situation over there in Croatia with gays and the wedding and all kind of stuff?
Honestly, I always get...
Mainly, is it Greek Orthodox?
Good question. Religion. Couldn't tell you. Didn't Google that far. I Googled what year the city was built because all the buildings were so old. Yeah. 1846 or something.
Well, relatively quite new.
Yeah, same year as Dolly. So I don't know. I was like, it was a really beautiful city. I wasn't sure if everyone was going to receive me like how they would say here. By going every time I walk around the corner. actually, everyone was so lovely. Didn't get any weird looks. And I was dressed like a neon highlighter as well. So like, if they're going to look, they're going to look. I don't know what religion they are.
And what the reception was quite good, like as in
was it a forest?
No, but like as in with the gay thing.
Oh, absolutely. Like one of the groom's moms came up, like was dying for a photo. Everyone was just so lovely and amazing sessions. Like they partied. Like even when I was back in the little room trying to like, you know, very warm. I could hear them singing, dancing, jumping. They were putting the Irish to shame. Like the Croatians look like a good time.
I have to say, I love Croatian fellas.
Do you?
I love them.
Oh.
I really do.
Like, what? Give me an example.
Well, I can't because like you don't know them.
Just them.
But I've had a couple of liaisons with a couple of Croatian men. And they've been like They've made me feel like Sandra and Dolores.
This is so funny because I
like I'd moved to Croatia for.
Before you came in, I literally ran around to the dry cleaners to drop something in, and three, I don't know what language it was, but I'm gonna guess Russian. Right. Fellas were walking by.
I like Russians as well. And I know I shouldn't. I know it's terrible.
Well, they might have been saying, let's go get eggs on toast, yeah. But it sounded so like aggressive. And I was like, oh my God, Davina would actually die if she was with me right now. She'd be wet for these three.
You know, in the past life, my name was Natasha. And I was like, you know, that was my like, previous life. I was like, hello. I don't even know why they say hello.
What kind of hair did you have as Natasha?
Oh, like bleach blonde.
Yeah.
Bleach on pencil eyebrows, I'd say as well. Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
And like actually not too far off actually what I'm doing now in this current life. So
oh my God. What else have you been up to?
I went to the All Together now.
Yes.
Have you spoken to them?
I think we have.
Have you?
What else?
I turned 40.
You did turn 40, but I think let's talk about that on the Patreon. Yeah, that needs a whole episode to itself.
I had a birthday.
It was quite the scandal.
There was quite a lot of gossip and there was it's a weird thing. I think turning 40, I think it sounds weirder. I think when you see it written down.
Yeah, I think you were working up to it for a while.
And to be honest, I've been working since. I haven't stopped. So
yeah.
It's like all systems go. I'm going over to.
Do you feel 40?
No, I never feel 40. That's the whole point. It's like, what does 40 even feel like? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like every 40-year-old I know is...
You don't look it.
No, I know. No, that is one thing I do know. I don't know much in this life, but I do know that. It's like, actually, I've been getting these amazing treatments from this place called BTL. It's they're in Fitzwilliam Square. And this place is like, they sell machines to clinics.
Oh, yeah.
So they have all these new technologies that are like revolutionary. They're like...
They do tits?
they do anyone. They have this thing called the M face.
Yeah.
And it's basically like these pads that go on your cheeks and on your forehead and a grounding pad on your back so you don't get the electric current has to flow through you. It's basically like...
That sounds like one big vibrator.
Yeah, no, it kind of is, but it's very weird. Like your whole facial muscle spasm and it goes really deep down to the layers of you, like your muscles, and it's like basically tones your muscles. It's like having a facelift but through a machine.
Okay.
But it's one of the very few machines that are actually FDA approved, which is very hard to get something FDA approved.
Is that the American people? Yeah.
So they sell them, like all the Kardashians and all have been using these for years.
Okay.
And it's basically like having fillers and stuff without having injections. So it basically...
This is not an ad, by the way.
No, it's not. I'm just telling you about these experiences. So they offered me like a course of treatments. So I've been having that. Mm. But I have to say, like...
Have you feeling a difference?
Yeah, I really have.
Where?
My face, my jaws feel tighter. Like I feel it in my face. My face feels tighter.
I'm having a good look.
My forehead definitely feels lifted. So it feels like it's like giving me like an eye lift.
Well, okay. Like, can you tell them how this happened that you end up getting it? Because this story is kind of funny. You went to this like, what was it? Like cosmetic... Like industry event?
It's actually the Future of Beauty exhibition and it was in the RDS.
Do you think you're the future of
That's
beauty?
What I said. I walked in and I said, hello everyone, this is the Future of Beauty. And the whole place just looked at me. I walked in the door.
What were you wearing?
I was wearing like a power suit.
Of course.
I looked real business.
Yeah.
I had a handbag and an umbrella.
If you ever want Davina to go to anything that is daytime, just know the legs are going to be covered because it's a lot of time to put on for like one little
I walked
day.
In... And I literally flew the doors open and there was like loads of grannies going to it like because they want to get all the freebies. You know, like they think it's like the Ideal Homes exhibition.
Uh-huh.
So they're all in there like, love. Nanny samples. They're like going around. So I was walking around and I was actually there to have my lips done live on stage by Kerry Hanafee.
Okay.
That's why I was there. I was there as a model. No, they actually didn't get time. I was kind of glad because I was kind of like, didn't want to have to get them done in front of like, you know, it's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
But I was just doing Kerry a favor. And my lips were actually fine. I didn't need anything done to them. So I was like, oh, I was going to do it because that's the kind of person I am.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fuck it. So
just while you're on that, I had a dream that people kept telling me that I'd gone way too far with my lips.
Oh my God.
Now, my lips are right in front of you right now. I've definitely not gone too far.
I just like to say, I've just counteracted that dream. You haven't gone far enough.
So. It just kept happening. I also had a dream that my granddad was alive again. Looked so different. It was so weird. But anyway.
Maybe he was getting the M face. So hang on, I'll tell you about the things I've been having for. So the M face, which is actually now getting this course of treatments, and I think I have like another two to do.
Yeah.
Which so it's like after 3 months then you're supposed to like visibly see a result. So I already feel the results, but you know like when you put makeup on you see a lot more. So all these celebs, apparently Alicia Silverstone is mad for having them. The Kardashians have them all the time. So it's getting rave reviews. Apparently it's fab. Then the other thing I had was this thing called M-Sculpt.
Okay.
It's actually M-Sculpt Neo. There's an M-Sculpt and this Neo one basically heats up your body. It's like it could put it on your abs, they can do your arms, do your legs. And basically,
where are your abs?
Oh, wait, here, look, they're there somewhere.
put them on your abs.
No, you put them on, you put it on your abs, put it on your stomach, put it on your legs, put it anywhere. And it basically heats up where it gets really hot, like, and then it's like pulsating. So it's like doing 100 sit-ups in like a half an hour.
Yeah.
100,000 sit-ups.
Sounds amazing, though.
And then it's like this, has this like kind of like knocking. And uh-huh. Basically it's like drain all the lactic acid, you know? So like if you did do like, say, you know, loads of sit-ups,
yeah,
you know, you get pains. Well, no, you wouldn't know. But the next day you get pains. So basically drains all the lactic acid. So it's actually kind of amazing.
Yeah. By the way, Davina was basically doing a radio play there. Yeah. She did the full knock on the table and said, I felt like I was listening to RT Radio 1. So go on, you were at the Future Beauty and woman.
So the people from BTL were there and they have this other device.
Yeah.
That basically they said Dee wants to meet you, so they were like, come over and she's telling me about this chair. Okay, so this is actually a really good device. This is another chair that they're trying to get word out about. Yeah,
genius. It's just how they said
yes that. So it looks like a poof that you have in your house, like a round circular kind of poof.
Yeah.
Now it's basically designed for women that like want to like tighten their pelvic muscles after having babies. Maybe if they have a bit of a leaky bladder.
Yeah. Loads of people I know have leaky bladders,
especially
by the way.
Have a kid.
Apparently that's like a real big thing.
Yeah. So that's really the main focus of this thing. And it basically sit on it and it tightens all your downstairs muscles.
Mm.
And again, it's one of these FDA products, like it's proven to have good results. So if anyone is interested, I think they have them in lots of different clinics, but I'm not sure exactly of the name, but if you DM me, I will find out if you really are interested. But the reason
I love this.
They brought me over because they wanted to get the word out to the gays.
Yes.
That basically it's also usable for males, like that gay guys could actually use this as well, because it can actually tighten up the anal muscles.
Oh yeah.
And that, you know, some people suffer with anal leakage. Mm-hmm. And, you know, basically...
So for all you loose gays out there, you know who you are. We know who you are.
But apparently it does actually... So if anyone is suffering from that, because apparently they told me that there is a lot of people that do suffer with this. And I was like, okay. And I said, have you tried panty?
Did you really?
Yeah.
I love it.
No, they actually said to me, we've been trying to get in touch with panty, but she hasn't got back to us. And I said, give me your card. And I said, I'll give it directly to her.
Did you?
No, I told her to her face the last thing. She were laughing about it.
Oh my God, I love it.
But apparently it is, like, so if anyone is suffering with anything like that, it does actually tighten up your muscles and do any of that. So if anyone is basically big,
Okay, I love that.
Get into it.
Just before we move on from like all of that, Nate, I went to do a sunbed. I stopped doing sunbeds for years, right? But I got a little bit of a color on holidays, and I cleared up my skin lovely. And I went in last week, and she said, "Oh, date of birth. That's how they take your details." And I was like, "You know, 3rd of May, 1984." And she was like,
"In the sunbed shop."
Yeah, that's how they find you on the system. And I almost fucking jumped across the counter and kissed her. She was like, "You're not. You're absolutely not."
Oh, she must be visually impaired. The sun has damaged her eyes.
Well,
the UV rays have blurred her retinas.
I skipped into that sunbed.
I'd say she came out from behind the couch with a white stick. Ding, ding, ding. She's like, oh, she's feeling the braille on the sunbed. Yeah, number 3.
Oh my God. Come here. I got a taxi in here. I'm just swiftly moving on from this bitch abusing me. I tell her that she doesn't look 40 and she does the opposite. This sums up our friendship. Got a taxi in here because I had my drag suitcase with me. And the fucking dirt of the taxi. Like, you know when you open the boot, like if you drive a taxi, in my opinion, the boot is really for the passengers, the other kind of way. Well, by all means, keep
the whole car should be clean.
It should be. But it was like crumbs everywhere, like rubbish was in it. So then you know you're going to get inside the taxi and it's going to smell like balls.
Yeah.
And what does it smell like? Balls.
Oh, I know. I think that's so disgusting, especially inside the car. I was in a car very recently when I was coming back from the Barbie thing. And I was like, and he went to half around the world, so I was in it for extra long. This is like, I'd rather get a horse and cart. It would actually be easier.
Like, I kind of, as that, like, since COVID anyway, I kind of get into a taxi, roll down the window straight away anyway, because I'm just like hyper aware. Like, someone lives in that car, basically. It's kind of filthy anyway.
I remember speaking of sunbeds. I remember back in the day, I went through a phase of, I was doing those tan injections.
Oh my God, I remember. Was it up the nose?
No, it was, you had to inject it, keep it in the fridge and it, like, for 10 days.
Oh, she was an addict. She had to inject. Addict.
Yeah, I was doing the Jekos. And I have to say, like, it got an amazing color. Like, it was so dark. The color was beautiful. And I can see why a tanner becomes addictive.
Oh, 100%.
But there's no, luckily, in a weird way, there's no sunbed actually near where I live.
Yeah.
Nowhere really has sunbeds.
There's one literally just there.
Yeah, but not where I live.
Okay,
do you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't, like, coming into town to a sunbed is just, it's too much. Effort.
Yeah.
If there was one near me, I think I'd be on it all the time. And, you know, all this kind of controversy with fake tan and people over tanning and all this kind of stuff, I just feel like, you know, I did the, my skin tan. Skin will go that color if you're in exposed to so much sunlight.
Yeah.
So I would rather easily whack on a couple of coats of tan.
I would too, but I like my Frances Brennan sheets too much.
I don't. I give me a black sheet over like a nice bronze glow and fair is fair.
Fair. But I am stopping, by the way. I promise myself that I will by the end of like, you know, mid-September.
Well, like I'm like, my skin is fair. And I remember when I was doing those injections every day, like my skin went, I could take like 10 minutes on sunbed.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't burn. That's the thing, you don't burn. So you're on it and you're like toasty. Like,
and you know, you come out and you feel kind of glam and gorge. Yeah, I don't know what it is.
The only thing is, afterwards, I have to say, because there is side effects.
Yeah.
And the side effect, I got really horny.
from the injections?
I mean, like insatiable, you know, like insatiable. Like the only way I can describe it is like a dog dragging its arse on the ground. Like it was that.
Are you fucking kidding me?
It was, I can't describe it. It was like a horniness that I felt like in my chest. Cause it was like, you know, like this. I can't describe it because it's like,
I don't think you ever told me this.
Because it fucks with your kind of like your melanin and your hormones and all this kind of stuff. So you're like, just out, I feel a bit out of sorts.
Oh my God.
I couldn't describe it. It was just like, and you feel it like through your fingers. Like,
you'd be like one of the dogs that needs to get,
oh my God, yeah.
Spayed.
Literally. Like that's, it was like insatiable.
And were you seeking it during that time?
No, you just, you'd physically feel it. Like, so you just get this rush of like,
like sniffing other people's butts.
Literally, no, but you get it like in the weirdest, like, you know, there'd be nothing going on. You just be like, all of a sudden, you just get this rush. Like, I can imagine it's like, you know, women in menopause, you know, like that, like hot flush of like, just a, like a rush of like horny.
Were you fancying people that you never would normally fancy?
No, it wasn't that bad.
Okay.
No, it was more like a physical internal thing.
Yeah.
But it was, I just used to laugh when I feel it because it was such a giddy feeling.
Oh my God.
Like, so it was very strange. And then it came out like you can get it in like a nasal spray.
Yeah.
And I had a couple of them, but I never used them.
Okay.
I was like, oh, I don't want to go down this route again.
Yeah.
I've just getting stuck into sunbeds. I just think it's bad for your skin. And to be honest,
it is.
I have nice skin. And I don't want to, like, I feel like it damages your sun.
Uh-huh.
And years ago.
You do have nice skin for your
years
age.
Years ago. Thank you, darling. When I used to work for Lancome, they used to have this, it was actually a crazy thing. It was like, kind of like this phone box. It was like a mirror.
Yeah.
But it had like UV lights and all inside. So when you'd stick your head through the curtain, it would show you all your age.
Oh no, that's horrific. Damage.
Yeah, like it was really bad. And I, but this stage, I'd like, God, it was years ago. I didn't do any sunbeds. Hardly any sun. I only had very minor, but I looked in at some of my friends. They were like, I mean, destroyed. And this was young people. So imagine the people that go into the sun. Like, it really does damage your skin.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's probably why the likes of like Paris Hilton and Juno Birch are wearing gloves all the time. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? There's actually a pair of Juno Birch's gloves up there.
Are they actually her gloves?
Yeah, they're like, they have the nails painted and everything. Oh. She left them behind. I was like, I shouldn't bin them. Do you know that kind of way?
Oh,
so I kept them.
She's cute. I like
she's
Juno.
She's real cute. Come here.
We should get her on the pod.
Yeah, we should. Yeah. She's actually finishing up a really big American tour.
Oh, good for her.
So I'll harass her. Now, I did ask her before.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, I'd love to. And then
I love her voice.
Oh, me too.
I love her, the accent.
Me too. Yeah, I will ask her.
Yeah.
I want to talk about Americans in Dublin.
Yes.
I wasn't here.
Oh,
but
yeah.
the Thursday or the Friday before, I was on Dame Street collecting something, and this big car drives down Dame Street with a huge Trump flag. I mean, huge Trump flag.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, what the fuck is this? And I didn't know there was this American football thing happening. Yeah. So everyone started replying saying loads of Americans.
Straight pride.
Straight fucking pride. And they closed Dame Street. Mm-hmm. We can't have Dame Street closed for pride. But,
and they closed from like Friday at 8 o'clock. Till Saturday at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
It's closed for like more than 24 hours.
And then they rename Dame Street to Notre Dame Street. Mm-hmm. And like we can't even change Georgia Street to like,
no,
I don't know, Gage Street or something like that.
It's so funny because it's just shows you like money talks and it's all about tourism. And I'm just, to be honest, I'm just glad there was no more attacks and no more trouble,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, but
Well, you were sick over the weekend, so you missed it as well.
Yeah, thank God. Because I was like, you know, I live near the Aviva, so it's always chaos. So I can imagine trying to get out, trying to get home. I was like, oh my God, no. Do you know what? I'll sit this one out.
Yeah, dead right. Okay. We have a special guest today.
Yeah, we have a very special guest. He is one of the world's biggest porn stars.
Oh, wow.
Adult entertainment actor.
Speaking of horny.
Should I say, yes. So he's going to be joining us. He is of French descent, but he's brought up in Ireland.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, he's made like over 100 adult films.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for this. So Davina has done a little hookup for the pods. I'm excited. We're going to interview him straight after this. But in the meantime, I want to remind you all that if you enjoy, love, or are obsessed with our podcast, we have so much extra content over on our Patreon. You can join for extra episodes. There's an extra episode every 2 weeks. We're going to do a shout out to Usheen. Usheen is our Patreon member of the week. Usheen with just one fodder.
Yeah.
Also, we're going to be talking about Davina's birthday. All the little goss on that. I kind of did. I attempted to do like a mini roast. I said a few words at Davina's birthday. So I might even share some of the things that I said. Maybe not all.
No, you will.
Because I still have them written down. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, you can head over to patreon.com/pettylittlethingspod if you're a nosy bitch and need a bit more.
You know, it's so funny. One of the shady things that she said, she was sagging somebody else that wasn't there, and my mom was there, and she was like, she said, what was Victoria saying about that person? And I was like, oh no, never mind. I was like, great, though, because obviously it hit a mark because everyone laughed.
Yeah. Okay, good. Cool. We'll talk about it over there. We'll be back right after this little jingle.
And we're back with a very special guest, a very special interview. We have a world-renowned adult entertainment actor coming. He's actually via Munster, so that's kind of different.
Glamour.
The glamour. We have the gorgeous Theo Ford is here live, not in the studio, but on Zoom.
Yeah.
Hi, Theo. How are you?
Good. Thank you for having me.
No, thank you.
We are so excited. Now, listen, let's be honest. Every person watches porn, right? And I think it's a fascination of us all. I have been forever enamored with the Playboy image. I was always more interested in the girls. I'm not going to lie. Well, the big blonde, big boobs. And then we just tried to be those, Theo. So, so I think there's a lot of people who have a fascination about it.
You know, like when I see the girls in the industry, I always felt like they were kind of, you know, out of this world and not really based in reality. Whereas when you see guys, they're a lot more, I don't want to say what real or, you know, easier to relate to. But I think that's why a lot of women is also are fan of our movies, because they feel like it's a bit more, something more natural or humane in the way that we can look, whereas the girls, it's always, you know, they look like more like drag queens, actually, which is really funny.
Yeah,
it's, you know, true. They have big lips.
It's kind of fantasy, isn't it, though? It's fantasy. And I think one thing that Victoria just said there is like, that's just like one element of kind of like the porn industry, I suppose. And it's so varied, like there's so many different elements, which I know we'll get into before that. But I think we should start a little bit more like at the beginning, I think a little bit, because you have a kind of a strange kind of like, what would you say? Like, so you're from France. You're born in France.
Yeah. So I was born there.
So tell us a little about your beginnings first.
Well, I moved to Ireland when I was a kid, and it was kind of weird to, you know, to move to Waterford and having like this multicultural background, especially back, you know, back in the 90s. I think Ireland was still being developed, and there wasn't as many,
especially Waterford.
Yeah.
And I think multicultural, you know, individuals were not as common. So I was definitely a bit of an alien or an outsider, which is in a real way. I think it kind of taught me to own my differences and to make it a strength. Maybe it's more difficult when you're a teenager. And I think now more and more people are celebrated for their differences. And it's obviously easier when you're an adult, yeah.
Definitely. And so I just find it's amazing that you've got to the level that you have in the business kind of coming from Waterford, which is just kind of, it's really, you know, unusual or unheard of.
So true. Like, because I mean, I don't know how one gets into it. Obviously, with OnlyFans, that's quite different. Mm-hmm. You start from home or...
But how does a little French boy from Waterford end up making like over 100 like porn movies? How do you get there?
Well, you know, it was completely kind of out of the blue. I never kind of thought I would do it. It was the first time. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of pure fluke. I started modeling when I was 19, and at 25, a producer contacted me to do adult movies. And I was in my head kind of thinking, oh, you know, I'm old enough that I think maybe I can do it. And I'm also young enough that it's the right time. Because now I see guys who are, you know, 18 and 19 and they're in the industry. And I think that's maybe a bit too young. And I never thought anything would come of it. I never thought anyone would see it, let alone like it, you know? So yeah. It felt like a snowball that got bigger. And I was just along for the ride, literally, you know, no pun intended. And yeah, it was never a goal or dream or nothing like that. I think it was kind of at first for the laugh, and then it became something. And it's when people or producers started calling me and studios calling me to come, you know, shoot in the US or all over Europe. I was like, oh, damn, like, is this real? Like, are they actually calling me? Like, how is this happening? So I could never, you know, give you a how to become whatever.
Oh, yeah. So almost like, it was almost like kind of like in a weird way, kind of like meant to be. Like, I think it sounds very organic, a little bit kind of natural.
But also, like, in a way, our moms always tell us not to talk to strangers. Some random person reached out and said, hi, would you like to shoot an adult movie? Like, how does it go from hello? Because, like, I've been offered millions of dollars through emails before. To keep my clothes on, yeah.
It was just online. And at first I was, you know, you always kind of think, you know, like some weirdos are messaging you. And it turned out like he was legit, and we met, and it kind of took a bit of, you know, sort of talking and maybe convincing. And then I just thought, you know, what the heck, let's just do it. But never would I have imagined, you know, I would get to this point. And I don't know if you remember, but Davina, we met.
Yes, I do remember.
I came to pick you up at work, and we went to the cinema, and then we went out to the George, and it was just like kind of this crazy. And for me at the time, coming from Waterford, that was the craziest, you know. And then when I look back, I'm like, oh my god, I was so much has changed since then, and it's, I don't think I would have ever bet any kind of money that I would have become any kind of actor or model in.
Yeah,
as an adult. Yeah.
So, Theo, just in relation to the first time you ever did it, because I think firsts are like such an interesting thing. I always remember my first time doing drag. Like, it was a disaster, to say the least.
Yes.
I fell around the stage. I was so nervous. And Davina was actually present for that first, which kind of made it easier because I knew her. But you were going into a room, I'm guessing, full of strangers that have not done this before. Talk me through that first experience on a set.
It was funny because it was actually outdoors, and it was outside of Paris. And I don't think I could describe how unattractive and unsexy or unsexual in any way, which was, it's kind of weird because people would always say, you know, you're doing porn, so you're actually having a lot of sex. I'm like, yeah, but when you're on set, it's not really sex. It's you're acting an sexual act. But let me tell you, there's nothing sexy usually about it. There's nothing natural because you could film for about 12 hours in one day for just, you know, 20 or 25 minute scene. And so there's really nothing sexy. And at the end, all you want to do is, you know, finish with the money shot and, you know, go for tacos afterwards.
And can I ask, because you were saying like, you did a little bit of modeling kind of before you got into like the porn side, and did that kind of like give you a little bit of like, what would you say, experience, kind of like, was that similar in any way, you know?
Yeah, because a lot of the, like, obviously you're filming, but there's a lot of photos, you know, for the promos, for the DVDs, the covers and so on. So there's a lot of actual modeling, which obviously helps. And that's why I was kind of lucky to have had that experience. And that's actually how the producer found me or messaged me at first, because he had seen professional pictures of mine. And I was like, oh, you know, he has a good look. And even now when I see other co-stars or throughout my career, a lot of the guys, they look so sexy. They look like they should be there. And a lot of the time I look kind of, you know, sort of innocent or a bit more, ingenue in comparison. And I'm like, oh, yeah, damn. Maybe that's why I became kind of successful, because I don't look the part in so many ways, you know?
Uh-huh. So you think your innocent little face maybe carried you along the way?
Yeah, because, you know, there's so many guys, especially now, as you said, you know, with OnlyFans or with everyone with an iPhone can call themselves, you know, an actor or star. I would never call myself a star, to be honest. It's always kind of cringy when I hear anyone who calls themselves, like, let others tell you you're a star, you know?
And do you think when you first started, like, doing that, do you think, like, the industry is, like, well, like we're just saying with OnlyFans, things have totally changed. So in regards to, like, actually, like, making movies and kind of budgets and stuff like that, like, the actual logistic part of it must have changed so much, like, over the course of even your career.
Yeah, of course, there was a lot more money, 10 years ago. And now it's much faster. I would even have producers that would, you know, tell me, oh, we have a production, and, you know, it would just be like an hour. And I'm like, an hour? That's not even enough, you know, to take a good few photos. So for me, it's always important to differentiate, you know, self-made content and then studio content. And I did try it during lockdown because I was kind of bored and single. I was like, oh, let's try a bit of OnlyFans. And I don't think it was for me. I like the production value. I like having professionals around, you know, in front and behind the camera. For me, that's really important to also feel like you're making a quality product. And that's why I also didn't want to venture into OnlyFans.
I totally get that.
Like 100%.
You want to produce a quality product.
It is like full blown acting, so it's like it's quality. And one thing as well. Do you remember, like, there was definitely a big flurry. You were all over the press a little while ago. We were on the Late Late Show. Yeah. And we were talking about like what was going on that time. I think it was like a drill on like sexual health or stuff, wasn't it? It was something about sexual health in the business.
Yeah, well, that was funny because there was an Irish Independent article that came out, and all of a sudden, like, straight people discovered gay porn existed. And I was like, I've been doing this for, like, you know, a little while now. I go for a few years, you know, this is nothing new. But it's funny when straight people discover something, and all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, did you hear of it?
It's so sensationalist sometimes. It can be so sensationalized.
Oh, because, yeah, of course, when you see any kind of article in straight press that, you know, might touch on a LGBT or a gay topic, especially when it's about sex, they're all shocked, but at the same time, they're really into it, which is really funny.
Of course they are.
But, of course, you know, like, when you're on RT and Late Late Show, like, you can't, there's a lot of topics, you know, maybe you can't really talk about, you know, like sex work, for example. At the time, it was just when the abortion referendum was going through. So they had told me also to not mention that. But I did talk about, you know, that's what also I brought about, you know, the sexual health topic. Because I said, you know, your body, I kind of made it a point, like, your body, your choice.
Yeah.
I didn't talk about the abortion, but it kind of linked to... you have to take ownership of your sexuality and your body, whatever you do with it. So I thought that was like a sneaky way of pointing to
clever. Clever.
And, you know, just in relation to like people's reactions, because we've interviewed lots of people who have many different types of careers, and we had this whole coming out to our families about doing drag. What was it like telling yours that you had started doing adult films, and how did they react as well?
I think my mom just saw a poster I posted on my personal Facebook. I didn't realize that because I was hosting at the time with my ex-husband in LA. We were hosting parties and there was just this poster and it said Theo Ford at the bottom. And I didn't realize. And my mom called me and she was like, who's Theo Ford? So I told her.
That's like a drag like, name, isn't it?
You know, like actually, drag name. you could make it a drag name, yeah. And she was actually, she was wondering like what my husband thought about it. And I was like, that's how I met him. I was living in LA and we had friends in common and that's how we had met. My sister was always very supportive. She loved it. She would come to a lot of the award shows with me as my date. So I think as everything in life, if it's not an issue for you, if you own it.
Yeah. If you make it an issue, it can become an issue.
Yeah. Like, I love that.
Yeah.
That's really good advice.
And I think more, especially if you're here, like I see in Waterford, there's a lot of, you know, guys who might be what they call discreet or on the DL or, yeah. You know, buy or not out. And I'm like, who are you doing that for? Because no one really cares. And again, if you don't make an issue, people will just be like, okay, cool, whatever. If you make an issue, if you make it weird for everyone around you, then it's difficult to demand that people accept you for who you are if you can't even say, this is who I am.
Yeah, that's so true. So true. Yeah. And tell me this. What's your status now? Are you still making movies? Are you still in the business? Where are you at now in your life?
I haven't been filming and since before COVID actually. It was funny because COVID was kind of a way to not be filming, not do any more photo shoots, and it's kind of nice to also take a really big step back. I've still, you know, been sort of in the industry because I've, you know, I think I'll always be, my face will always be there. And I still have people, you know, messaging me saying, oh my God, I love your movies, as if, you know, it had, you know, come out yesterday. but it's nice, you know, I think I've done enough movies. I've done enough work to not want to do
That's more. The thing with porn, though, I think, as well. It's always going to be needed. And it's always going to be people always looking for new discoveries. Like, all those, like, 70s porns are still knocking around, you know what I mean? So it's it's still... And people are always going to want it.
It would be funny. I was actually thinking about that. Because sometimes on Twitter, I see, you know, like, vintage porn or photos. And I'm like, I wonder if my movies, you know, in, like, in 20, 30 years, would be like that. Would they be called vintage porn? So that would be funny.
And actually, when you kind of think about, like, when you see kind of some of the vintage porn, like some of the 70s porn, it has that certain look about it.
Yeah, full bushes.
You know, like the 70s and the 80s and 90s. And it's funny, we wonder what people in years to come look back on this and go, oh, that was like the noughties.
Yeah.
Do you know that kind of way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was there a favorite thing that you've done throughout your career?
For me, it was really like all the traveling and meeting kind of crazy people because. You have to be, it's like a bit in drag, you know, you have to be a bit crazy, a bit delusional in so many ways to be doing it. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone well-adjusted to society will go into porn or into drag. And I think that's why a lot of porn actors and drag queens get along. Because on top of a lot of the time, you know, working in the same clubs or doing shows together, we end up just being kind of clowns or being...
Yeah, it's so true.
There was a porn actor, I was going to say, who the girls from Drag Race always talk and say when the new girls are announced, there's a porn actor who always ends up sliding into their DMs.
Oh, really?
I can't remember his name. I'm going to Google him after this. But basically, and they all say that, like, he tries to, you know, get in there a bit.
Good for him.
Yeah.
we'll get the name over to you as soon as you can remember. Alzheimer's dementia has kicked in here. And over all the movies that you've done, what has been your favorite movie that you've done that you're proud of?
I think one of the last ones, we were filming in Paris, actually. I was living in London and we were filming for Falcon Studios. And we came to Paris where there was a bunch of actors from the US, from the UK and from Europe. And that was really amazing to have. It felt like kind of, you know, like a holiday trip, you know, like all go on vacation. We live together in those incredible flats or houses. And then we're filming during the day or at night. And for me, it's that friendship. It's that feeling of you know, you're all part of the same, that's the same madness, like I want to say, you know, yeah. the same journey. And just like the girls, I think when you hear about some of the girls who go on Drag Race, for example, always say, you know, there's one thing we have in common is that adventure. No one else can comprehend what it means to be part of that adventure. And I think for porn, it's the same. It's
like a life experience. That. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's something that is so weird, because even now when I think about it, I'm like, that's kind of wild. Because I would walk down the streets of Waterford and be like, it's kind of crazy. I was doing porn like a hot minute ago.
It's kind of like that. It's so relatable, because I think sometimes it does feel like, I feel like that sometimes it feels like this duo life. It's like, it's like you've lived two lives.
And
kind
in
of way.
Four walls, you can be the most well-known person. Yeah. And then you walk outside those four walls and nobody knows. Do you know what I mean?
But it's nice, because especially when you're, for me, like when you're surrounded by straight people, you don't, like, not really, not anyone would recognize you or make it a point. But it's more when you in the gay club, or if there's one gay guy who's like, oh my God, you know, do you know what he does, what he did, and you know who that is?
Yeah.
And it's funny. It can be, you know, I'm always happy to say hi and, you know, talk about it. But when you're just having, you know, fun, or you're out with friends, you don't always want to talk about your job, whatever that is.
Of course.
Sometimes I'm like, it's more other people make it weird. And I'm like, okay. Yeah. And then obviously it's always the same questions, you know, talking about your buddy or your dick. And I'm like, can we not talk about my penis, you know, at midnight in a club or in a concert, you know? And that's why sometimes
just to be real, there's a lot of straight husbands that also will recognize your faces as well. Yeah. So you say it's only the guys. Oh, yeah. There's definitely a lot of straight husbands watching on the sly.
Well, even girls, straight girls, straight women would watch a lot of
straight women love gay porn, don't they?
Yeah.
And I have to ask, like, we ever approached about doing straight porn, or how, like, do the lines blur there? Or what's the story there?
I don't think I've been specifically approached to do it, but I know that if I had wanted to, or could have done, you know, by straight or trans porn, for sure. For me, it was, of course, it's still acting, you know, but, and I've seen a lot of straight guys do gay porn. I think it would be more difficult for me to ever do straight porn, because I really, for sure, you know, whatever your gender identity can be, I know for sure that my sexual identity is very much homosexual. And I think you need to be able to do it. You know, it's not just about taking, you know, a pill to get a hard on, or you need to be also feel comfortable in what you're doing. And it's so intimate at the same time, that if you're not comfortable, even with your co-star or your producer or whatever, it can make it very, very difficult. And I've had issues sometimes on set where you would be asked, or there would be a demand that you're not comfortable with. And when you start out in the industry, you never think you can say no. And as time goes on, you're actually able to say, look, I'm all for being professional, but I'm not comfortable doing this or that. So I think I never want to put myself in a situation where I wasn't comfortable. You know, what does Kim Cattrall say? You know, I never want to be in a situation I'm not happy with for even like an hour.
That's so relatable.
Especially when it comes to work and your own body, you know, it's the last sort of piece of you. And if you can't protect that, then, you know,
Speaking while we're on that topic, like, I suppose, like, and you said earlier on, it's like, you know, it's having sex kind of as your job, like, and having to perform like that. Does that change when you're with someone, like, you know, off camera? Like, does that affect your sex life? You know, how does that mentally land with you? Do you know that way?
Oh, it's very, it can be very difficult. Especially at first, when you're in a committed relationship, or when I was married, for example, it could be difficult. You know, you're filming all day, and then at night, your partner, your husband
Your ex-husband was in porn as well, was he?
No. He was an Andrew Christian model, actually, and hairstylist. Oh, yeah. I know, it was kind of very cliche for the porn actor and the Andrew Christian model to get married. which I find funny afterwards. I was like, oh God. But of course there is, you know, this difficulty of sort of make it a like dissociating yourself from your job when you get home. And I think it kind of tainted my view on sex for myself since. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the negatives I want to say of being in the adult industry. But there is, you know, a difference between having sex, making love, and then actually filming a sex scene. They're very different.
Do you think sometimes people find it hard to separate the porn star from the person?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And because they see you on, you know, on their computer, you know, at night, doing whatever, they feel like they own a piece of you. So in person, mm-hmm. how many times have I had people, you know, rope me or, you know, touch me or be able to or feel like they were able to say or do things that you would never mm-hmm. do to anyone else just because they had seen my movies. So sometimes I do have to, you know, by being pleasant, I still have to say, you know, look, I'm all for being nice, being chilled and everything, but you have to respect me and my boundaries. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's important.
And do you think you will go back to it at some point? Do you think it's in your future?
You know what? Right now I would say no, because I definitely want to, you know, do other things. And, you know, before porn, I was working in fashion. I was working in PR as a stylist also for magazines and celebrities. So I've done other things. And even though
are you based in Ireland now? Are you based back in Ireland?
I came back to Waterford last year to spend some time with family and kind of, you know, relax my head, my brain from all the traveling. You know, I left Ireland, 15 years ago? And I've not stopped traveling and working and going from one adventure to another. So it's kind of nice to be back here and to reconnect with society and with, I want to say, you know, normal, like a certain sense of normalcy.
To ground yourself. Yeah. And can I actually ask, like, because, like, obviously, like, I knew you in another life. But have you seen Ireland? Has Ireland changed so much since you've been away, since you come back?
I think there's definitely been, you know, some changes, you know, like this gay marriage and abortion. Mm-hmm. I think more and more people are open to what the world can bring. But in so many ways, like, I still recognize the same, you know, same streets, the same bars. I think you were talking in one of your previous shows about Dragon. And I used to go to Dragon. Bianca, you were talking about it or something. And and I was like, oh my God, yes. I remember. And so, yeah, of course, there's little like landmarks like that may have changed. But the few things that have changed, maybe for the better, but otherwise it's very much the same. Which is not a bad thing, you know.
Not at all. And it changes. You can't stop progress, as they say. What do you see as next? What's next for Theo Ford? What's next on the agenda? Like, if it's not more movies, what would you like to do? Where do you see yourself going? What's next?
I mean, whether I use, you know, Theo Ford, or if I, you know, or just me, you know, in my sort of private life, it would be nice to kind of stay in Ireland, actually, and either go back to working in fashion, or I don't know. It could be interesting to see what the next adventure is.
You must have learned so many amazing skills as well, like on your journeys. You know the kind of way, like through all that.
Yes, and you also learn to take ownership of yourself, and because so many people might know you and might have an idea of you. So it's a all different way of living your own life.
Got you.
And that's why it's interesting now to just be, you know, and not be recognized and kind of, you know, be able to have your own life.
It's a little bit of me time.
100%.
I think that's a nice way to wrap it up.
Oh, Theo, thank you for being so open and honest with us. We had a really lovely conversation. And we need to go to Dragon sometime.
Yeah, we all miss Dragon. If people want to follow you online, what's your Instagram?
Instagram and Twitter are at @the_Theo_Ford. And I'm always happy to give a follow back or to tweet. And it's always nice to be able to, you know, stay in touch with people that might, you know.
Well, listen, it was nice to chat. And thanks again for coming on. And thanks for being a petty little bitch like us.
Yeah. Thank you, Theo. Bye-bye.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Theo.
So that was our interview with Theo. We actually got some listener questions from our Patreons. And if you're nosy Nora, you'll be able to listen to all those answers over on our Patreon episode. But in the meantime,
it is everybody's favorite time of the week and sometimes time of the month, depends on what you listen.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Rather of the week on Petty Little Things.
It is, of course, Rotter of the Week, and we are here with several Rotters. I think some weeks are good for Rotters and other weeks are bad, aren't they?
Yeah.
I feel like every time you go away, there's always an airport Rotter.
Yeah, I've tried to not do that this time because it feels too predictable.
That kind of rocked me.
Yeah.
the airport Rotters kind of rocked me because I just, in general, airports, and also, can we just say, the way all the flights have been cancelled now, that is just one big rotter.
Oh, I'd hate to be there, though.
I know.
Oh.
Like, I know this is going to be bad. I know there's some people that, like, Manchester probably didn't look great.
Oh, it's, I've been, I'm, I mean, sorry to listen, say. Like,
I know some of you probably have a great time over there, but from what I saw,
it's just a sweatbox on the streets. Yeah. And I've been, and people knock into you every 5 seconds. You can't keep a drink in your hand because they keep spilling it on you. Yeah, it's not for me either, to be honest. I don't know if there is a pride. Maybe
I don't know if there is a pride for me either.
Yeah.
I think maybe just because we're so into working at prides and kind of like, you know, when you see people just like living their best life. It
and I don't want to queue.
No.
Which is kind of my first rotter. So I'm going to get straight into it. I was at your birthday party. So my first rotter is connected to that. And I had just put my mom into a taxi. My mom had a fucking ball, but she was well on. Yeah. And I turned to her at one point. And she was just a bucket of sweat because she'd been dancing nonstop. I saw her dancing to like Luann's song, Money Can't Buy You Class. Yeah. She doesn't even know that song. But she was like, Anyway, so she turned. She was like, I need to go. And honestly, a little part of me was like, grand, because then I can chill and like not worry about her getting home, because like obviously it's worry. But stuck in a taxi, then went through the front door into the downstairs bar, because upstairs was so busy for your birthday that it was hard to get served fast. So I thought, smart bitch, get a drink down here, go up. Three ladies were sitting on the bar, right? One of them had a stool there with her a scarf on it. Right. And she was like swanning around, right? So I went in around the front of her stool because they were blocking the whole bar.
Yeah.
To order a drink. Now, there was no one sitting there.
Yeah.
Well, she came back while I was ordering a drink, and she was they were all giving me filthies.
Yeah.
Filthies for ordering a drink. Yeah. They're sitting at the bar.
Yeah.
And I'm like, just because you have a fucking stool at the bar does not mean you own the fucking bar. In fact, these people need to sell booze. And you're sitting over your glass of wine all night.
Are you listening to this music, Sophia?
I'm about to order three doubles and three shots.
We're getting red.
And put some fucking money behind the bar. And she gave me filthies. And you know me, I have a switch.
Yeah, I know.
And the switch went.
I know. What did you say?
And I said, is there something wrong? And she was like, because if you feel that I'm in your space, please let me know. But I'm just trying to get a drink.
Yeah.
And they just kept throwing me filthies.
Yeah.
And what I wanted to say was, there's a reason why you three are going to stand here and sit here on your own for the night.
How old are these
Because, I don't know, like probably around the same age as me. Because face sour face. Do you know what I mean? And like, I was up for crack. Your brother was beside me.
Yeah.
We were having banter. Yeah. They could have gotten involved in that.
No.
We might have even invited them upstairs.
Miserable married out.
You don't own. No, you don't. I don't even know if they're married, but like, you don't own the bar.
Yeah.
The fact is, I'm trying to put money behind it.
Yeah.
That's what people do.
Well, yeah. Fuck them anyway. My first rotter is, straight people on stag parties dressed up as stupid gobshites, like characters. Like, say someone dressed up as Bruno in a pair of pink shorts walking around, or like somebody dressed in, you know, like shit drag. Like, and it's like, then it runs to all the lads, oh, thinking it's gas. And it actually just looks fucking stupid.
Yeah.
You just look like an absolute dope.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't look like it's fun. Doesn't look like anyone else thinks it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's ridiculous.
I hate it.
Yeah.
I fucking hate it. Like, it's not funny. Like, yous are not creative in any way.
Yeah.
You're basic.
Yeah.
I actually think that's a rotter as well.
It is a rotter, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's basic.
It's just basic. So, yeah. And it looks like hell to go on those trips as well.
I actually saw this one, thing on, it was like either TikTok or something, where basically they brought this guy from his, like, they picked him up at his house, put him into this like pink, I think, velour tracksuit and some Uggs, brought him to the airport, got him through security, got him through all that. But then when they were checking and going on to the flight, they had booked him for the next flight.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to stay in the airport while they all flew off, and he had to get the flight on his own, dressed in the...
That's not fun.
It's actually just like pathetic.
That's not fun in any way.
They thought it was gas.
Like, I'm all up for a prank, but like a scare prank, or like, but like, how is that fun?
Yeah, I know. And especially being the other person where you have to stay, he had to stay in the airport in his pink Uggs and his tracksuit and wait for the next flight.
Also, like, you wear the pink Uggs and wear the pink tracksuit. That's not funny either. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Lots of males wear pink Uggs and pink tracksuits. Who cares?
I know. It's just that it's the undertone of it that I just think it's just...
Yeah,
it
you're dressed like a little fairy. Yeah. That's what the undertone is.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
So that's one rotter.
I actually don't have a second rotter.
Oh my God.
I had something down that I forgot to speak about, which is... I have my own rotter. So like, I've come to this conclusion that if someone like, well, basically if Calvin pulls the bed covers in the middle of the night, I wake up immediately and he's asleep. He's not doing this on purpose. And I take it so personally. Like, I'm like,
would you not get maternity pillow?
Dare you? I actually tried one of them before and they're so warm and uncomfortable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're very temperature sensitive, aren't you?
I'm just sensitive, full stop.
Really unsensitive.
Little moany bitch.
Jesus.
Go on, what's yours?
Oh, the next one you actually did agree with me because I was saying to you.
Oh, yeah.
And I think you all agree that this is what we call a universal rotter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you go into the shop to buy like a drink.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now I love an iced tea. Controversial.
You do.
But I do. Low in calories, lovely.
Mm.
And they're always, you know, these front-facing fridges that they have all the drinks in.
Yeah.
Have you ever once got a cold drink out of those, ever? They're always like room temperature.
Yeah.
Like, they're never cold, ever.
Never.
And I'm like, I'm sick of, like, you literally be like gasping for like, you know, like even like a cold kind of Coke or whatever. Coke's never really that cool.
No.
So I'm like, what is going on? Remember the old days, the old fridge? It's like... Mm-hmm. Things have come out, you need your icicles hanging off them.
You may as well go to the shelf and get a 6-pack of Coke Zero, which is probably about €1 more expensive, and they're not chilled anyway.
Speaking of Coke Zero, as well, we're on the topic. Did you see Jill Zarin coming from?
Yes.
Did you see that traveling to Europe? And she made all the headlines where it was like American travels to
poor bitch, Diet not Coke. Even getting a name.
She only
though.
Drinks Diet Coke.
Yeah.
And she doesn't drink water.
I'm laughing because you used to be the Diet Coke girl for a short window.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to think about anything else coming up.
They're talking, by the way, while you mentioned Housewives, I know we're wrapping up, but like they're talking about rebooting the whole Atlanta cast.
I think that's a bad idea.
I think it's a bad idea too. Yeah. Did you listen to the interview with Kenya Moore?
Yes.
With Carlos King.
They're saying that maybe the reason she was so honest is because
she knows she's out. Yeah.
Well, like if they do that, I like New York, I refuse to watch.
Yeah.
I refuse to watch. I'm like, I'm a fan of these girls. That's why I watch the show.
Yeah.
And it's already kind of dwindling on me as is. So I'm like, I'm not preparing to get into the franchise. I'm not going to watch that new New York. I'm not going to watch a new Atlanta. If they're done with that, then I'm done with it.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's it. We are going to wrap up. You can catch us over on our Patreon immediately with another episode if you need a bit more. That's it, isn't it?
It is for now, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Until next time.
Stay petty.
Stay petty.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.